Welcome to The Cooler Ring, a podcast for manufacturing marketers brought to you by Cooler Partners. My name is Jeff White. Joining me today is Carmen Perry. Carmen, how you doing, sir?
You know, I'm doing well. I feel like our listeners really ought to know that we're recording this in what is probably or most likely the East Coast's last snowstorm of the season.
True. Day's not starting off great.
Well,
it's going to get better.
Yeah, and so who knows where our headspace is at, guys, because it's one of these things, like, you hate to see it, but you also know it makes the grass greener in about 3 days.
True.
I don't know.
Keeps the forest fire index down, you know?
Indeed. But the one thing that, the one bright part of the day, however, is today's guest. Really looking forward to kind of diving into this conversation, and because I think it speaks to the kind of the heart of the evolving kind of B2B manufacturing buyer. There's changes afoot in terms of who our the people listening to this podcast, who those firms sell to, and the communication preferences that they have. So it's a square peg, square hole kind of episode as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, and I mean, I think we're going to be talking too about a channel that people haven't necessarily considered in this way before.
So, yeah.
Yeah, anyway, I don't want to hide the lead for too long. But so joining us today is Nelson Bruton. Nelson is the president of Manufacturing Chats. Welcome to The Cooler Ring, Nelson.
Thanks for having me. Happy to be here.
Yeah, Nelson, it's awesome to have you. Thanks for joining us today. I'm hoping it's not snowing where you're at.
I tell you what, it was 90 degrees yesterday. I think we're expecting a lot of the same today down here in Florida. So we just went through pollen season, though. And my gosh, last couple of weeks have been brutal. Black truck turns yellow.
Yeah, yeah. Oh man,
the only stock that's up is Claritin. Yeah. tell our listeners, if you would, just a little bit, give a bit of an introduction to who you are and a little bit more about Manufacturing Chat.
Absolutely, I'll do it. So for me personally, I got absolutely fascinated with the internet many years ago, 20, 30, 30 years ago. I don't know, when back in the day when AOL and CompuServe and Prodigy were just mailing out those free trial discs, 20 hours free, 50 hours free. And my parents had, you know, the computer, the gateway computer that came in the cow box. And so it was upstairs in our bonus room. And man, I was just fascinated. You could put this disc in a computer and then just have conversations with people all over the world through AOL Instant Messenger and the various chat rooms that were, you know, prevalent back in the day. And so I always wanted, you know, from that point on, I wanted to do something with the internet, something with the computers. Went to school as a computer science major up until I took my first C++ programming class. Quickly realized that maybe wasn't what my brain was wired for. And so pivoted.
You're not the only one on the show who feels that way.
Yeah. So I pivoted really quickly. I got a degree in economics, you know, went the business route. And, you know, lo and behold, graduated, moved to Florida, and ended up meeting a longtime friend, mentor, CEO of our company at the time. And we hit it off, and he was building websites, right? And so that's kind of my story. And, you know, the cool part is I've been working in the internet for the past 20 years as anticipated, just in a completely different way,
Yeah. Gotta love it when life does that. And you're not long figuring out whether or not C++ is in your bones or not. That's not 3 months figuring that out.
No, it's not. No. It's like, am I going to be able to understand German?
Yep. So everything works for the good, right? As long as you keep that positive mindset.
Dean, what are y'all up to with Manufacturing Chat?
Yeah, so it's we're having a lot of fun. We're basically helping people really simply offer another form of communication to their website visitors. You know, a lot of my customers, they already have an agency or internal team if they're a bigger company that's doing all the right things and driving people to their website. And so what we do at Manufacturing Chats, we pop up a live chat window. And our unique differentiator is we provide the people behind the chat 24/7 for our customers. So it's real humans. It's never AI or a bot. Now, we have some hybrids where we have some humans assisted by AI. We can get into all that later. But quite simply, It's offering real-time conversations via, you know, live chat window with the people that are already going to your website.
That's awesome. And look, for our longtime listeners, you'll know that, like, we do not, you know, the Cooler Ring is not a sales channel for folks. We don't bring people on to pimp their solutions. In this instance, there's obviously an awful lot of crossover between Nelson's business and this, you know, incredibly powerful channel. And we think that there's just a lot of learnings that people, you know, if they're trying to stand up a chat function within a customer service organization, you know, I think a lot of the advice that Nelson's going to be bringing to the show today can people can try to roll their own and do it on their own. And of course, it's lost on no one that if you need somebody to help you out, who you can call. With that kind of preamble in mind, let's just kind of dive into it. What are you finding as you, do you find that adding this kind of live human-enabled chat on the site, like, do you find it almost just unlocks a stream of leads that otherwise weren't converting, weren't engaging?
Yes, 100% of the time. It really does. Again, it's you know, if you think about it from a people's preferences, you know, I'm old school. I like to pick up my phone. I like to call and talk to somebody. That's my preference for communication. Some people, they don't like to talk, right? They want to do their own thing. So they'll fill out a contact form or a quote request form, continue on with what they were working on in their day, and wait for a response. And then there's a whole nother group of people that's, you know, more prevalent than ever that prefers real-time chat, if it's done correctly. And to your point, that's what we're going to talk about today is really how to do it correctly. And there's lots of different options out there in terms of deploying chat.
Let's break that down a little bit, because I mean, I can think of three easily off the top of my head, you know, full bot powered chat, pure human chat, and augmented human chat, I guess you could call it, you know, the power of AI in the back end. But how do they compare in your mind? And is there a time for each?
There really is a time for each. And, you know, for, we'll just take the chat bots and the AI, and we're totally invested. We have an R&D department. We're watching all the learning model language models, and AI is amazing to watch. And there's lots of different takes on AI. This is not the show for that. But from a chat bot perspective, they're typically the easiest and fastest to deploy, because you have Salesforce and HubSpot. They have built-in bots, right? And the thing is, if you're going to do the more here, one of the things that we've talked about over the years with my prospects and customers, no matter how well you program your AI, your bot with your data, it really becomes just an interactive FAQ for your visitors, right? And so if your goal is to deliver, you know, just information to your visitors, then a chatbot can absolutely work. You can deploy it relatively quickly, depending on how complex you want to do the if-thens, and depending on what language model you're using behind the AI. So it's quick, it's easy. If you haven't done anything, certainly test it, right? Marketing is testing at the end of the day. So the bots is one. And then you have the self-serve, right? The self-staffed, you know, staffing chat with your employees. And, you know, what we found over the 20 years doing this is companies typically try to staff it themselves with their internal customer service team, or with, you know, their inside sales team. And, you know, it becomes a major issue for a number of reasons. And here's, you know, from an education standpoint, here's some things to consider or be prepared for. So I'm never going to say don't try to staff chat yourself, right? But if you're going to, be prepared to have a feedback loop with the people that are staffing the chat, where you're asking them, you know, does this interrupt your flow during the day? Does it put pressure on you where you're being pinged and you're having to stop working on a proposal, or you're on a sales call and you see your email go off or your text go off, you have to jump into a chat, but you're already doing something else. You know, does it interrupt your flow during the day? Does that get annoying? That's one consideration. The other consideration is on the customer side, right? From a visitor experience or a user experience side, If that one thing is happening and there's potentially delays in response taking place for the visitor, that's an absolute no-no. You cannot cause delays in response. When a visitor's on your site expecting to chat, if you're staffing it yourself, if you have a delay in response, if you're over 25 to 30 seconds in response time, and that becomes a long wait when you're sitting there waiting for a response from a chat person on a website, right?
No, so that makes some sense to me about, like, you know, we have, obviously, there's, you're trying to feed a desire for immediate gratification and interaction. And, you know, when I've seen customer service organizations or inside sales teams try to staff chat robustly themselves, I think you were hitting on the main challenge that I've seen, which is it sometimes always becomes the least important thing that they're doing that day. So, you know, nobody's going to get fired in some way because they didn't answer chat fast enough. They're going to get fired because they didn't meet quota or what have you in an inside sales contact. And so, you know, sometimes it just seems like, yeah, it's hard to prioritize. And maybe they just don't staff it, which makes sense why an outsourced arrangement. I mean, not trying to pimp that, but just trying to be matter of fact about it.
It could make sense if you're running into that challenge, you know, and you know, people, my job is to let people know we exist, right?
Yeah,
a lot of people don't, you know, and, you know, another level on that, if you're going to staff it yourself, the temptation is, and the mindset, you know, going into this for most people, no matter what they're thinking about live chat, is their expectation is, well, we've got to make sure we're able to, if we're going to deploy a live chat solution, we have to make sure we can answer every single question. Mm. That is absolutely not the case, right? We stand extremely contrarian on that viewpoint. It's actually damaging if you try to answer every question. I was speaking at the Industrial Marketing Summit a couple months ago in Austin, Texas. And after my session, I was sitting there talking to a table in the audience and, you know, just one-on-one. And one of the ladies was like, yeah, I actually am the person that staffs the chat for our company. And, you know, it's hard for me to get people's contact information. She's like, I answer all their questions and then they just leave. Right. And so as soon as she said that, she kind of got it. Right.
Right.
So, you know, just like when people call into your receptionist, or my favorite analogy is when you're at a trade show and you have your booth there and there's people that pass by and end up talking to somebody that's on the outskirts, the chances of that person knowing all the answers is pretty rare. Right. Mm. So what are they going to do? They're going to walk them over and say, oh, you know, that's a really interesting question about your particular facility or application. Let me walk you over to John, who's our expert integrator, and let me have him answer those questions for you. So there's a handoff that takes place, and that we promote that same thinking when you're going to deploy a chat. Collect what you need from the visitor, maybe answer some top level questions, but more importantly, ask some top level qualifying questions, and then get them to where they need to go within your organization.
Is it as important to get the contact information as it is to have multiple people in the organization follow up in order to create those multiple touch points within the org? To me, it seems like that's pretty powerful and important.
Yeah. I mean, it's critical. If you have somebody on your website, they've gotten there from an ad, they've gotten there from your organic rankings, they got there from a referral, no matter how they got there, they got to your website, right? You know, the parallel, I just talked about it. If you're at a trade show, you spend a lot of money to get there, right? To get in front of those people that are passing by. You want to have conversations with them and pull them into a discussion. Even if it's not the end-all discussion, you don't want to do the sale right there at the first touch point. So yes, you want to get their contact information so that the technical people and the salespeople or your dealers, right? A lot of my customers are the OEM and they sell through dealers. So you want to get that opportunity over to the person that can actually schedule a Zoom or a Teams or an in-person demo to do the sales process and more technical discussions. So getting contact information is absolutely critical if you're going to deploy chat on the site. And you don't want to do it by throwing up a whole bunch of friction. This is another kind of consideration if you're going to deploy chat. And just about all of the out-of-the-box chat softwares do this, and it drives me crazy because I know how much it hurts the results, is they pop up a contact form for the visitor to fill out, name, email address, question, right? Or even if it's just email address to start with, that's a friction point where people want to remain anonymous until they don't. They don't want to have to fill out a form or, you know, fill out information before the chat. And our data over the years tells us that if you remove that friction, you're going to see a 50 to 70% increase in conversations take place, right? So if you have chat on your site now, to all the listeners, and you're popping up a basically a contact form, you're creating a roadblock for your visitors. You're not getting as many engagements as you could be. Now, the flip side of that is, and this is very rare, but some organizations have a very high, if they have a lot of website traffic and it's a high volume, if they don't gate their chat, then they're going to get a whole lot of conversations. And then it becomes the question is, if they're staffing it themselves, is that going to overwhelm their team anymore? So there's a lot of dynamics at play when you're deciding how to, you know, gate it or not, depending on your chat volume, depending on how quickly your team and how readily available they are, all those things.
That all makes really good sense to me. And, it, you know, it, your emphasis on it being a transitional dialogue really is what I'm kind of thinking about. Where else can you apply that? And clearly, like you say, the folks staffing a trade show booth, you know, ought to be thinking about their job in the same way. My job isn't to sell, and my job isn't to answer all the questions, which, I mean, almost you would say if you were, you know, if somebody were drafting that, the question, they'd almost do it as a multiple choice. They'd say, do you think your job is either to sell or to answer all the questions? But it must be one of the two. And I love the contrarian nature of saying it's actually neither. It's to engage in a helpful dialogue that answers some of the top level questions while lifting up the expertise of the organization and facilitating a transition to another. It's just like if you can't apply that in other places other than chat, you're not paying attention.
Well said.
Yeah, really cool. I guess, have you seen, because you mentioned you dated yourself a little bit, that you've been at it a while. As the, you know, there's been lots of conversation about the new world of B2B buyers, and that conversation I felt really exploded during COVID when a lot of people decided to take retirement and say to heck with this, right? And all of a sudden you had people, you know, that were used to selling to 55, 60-year-olds now found that they were coming back selling to 35-year-olds. Have you seen a bit of a generational shift in preferences on the chat side as well?
So 7 or 8 years ago, certainly the younger generation was more prevalent on the chat usage. However, as our society has become text message driven and FaceTime driven, you know, you have your grandma and grandpa who are, you know, CEOs or, you know, leaders of organizations who are texting and FaceTiming with their grandkids. So even the older generations are using these new methods of communication, and their preferences are shifting over time. So now it's just a matter of preference. You know, why does somebody prefer vanilla over chocolate? You know, it's just make sure that you as a business, make sure you cater to all your potential preferences of your visitors. And we talked about, you know, make sure there's an easy to find phone number. Make sure your contact form and your quote request forms are on your product pages. And then make sure you offer chat for the people who prefer communication. And if your business is applicable, make sure you have some sort of self-serve, right? Self-serve meaning e-commerce. If you have a parts, you know, parts options for your equipment. And, you know, self-serve can also mean product configurators, which you guys, I'm sure, build for a lot of your customers, right? That self-serve, people want to do stuff on their own on the website. So those are the four types of paths that people take from usability. They call, they fill out a form, they chat, and then they self-serve.
On the chat front, and you know, you mentioned this when we were just getting started about how you provide outsourced real human chat that can be powered by AI. How are you implementing that, and how would you recommend that if someone was looking to kind of staff this internally, you know, that they might choose to look at leveraging AI for that?
Yeah, so I am not sure. My technical team would have to let me know which language model we're using for the backend AI. But basically what we do, and we typically don't suggest to our customers, even though we offer this capability, we don't typically suggest we do it. Just, you know, pointing back to our conversation is we're not trying to answer every question. However, a few of our customers, we have scraped with our AI their website and their data sheets, their sales sheets, their marketing materials, because it's robust. And we actually have our team, have access to that AI so they can actually, as they're talking with somebody, if certain questions come up that are more technical, our team can actually use AI to search that database and provide an answer from the AI. So that's kind of that hybrid model where we have human first, AI powered, right? Which is really the way to look at AI nowadays. Don't look at it as a scary thing. Use it as a tool to make your human performance, you know, be more elevated.
I kind of like the hidden part of what you just said, though, which is to say, which kind of seemed like you were suggesting, maybe if you're looking to have all that information at your fingertips, maybe that's a sign you're thinking about chatting correctly. Maybe that's a sign that you're trying to answer too many questions.
Yeah. Yeah. So the goal is, you know, people from a chat perspective, what we've learned, and you know, 95% of people, I won't say 95, probably 85 to 90% of the chats when we pop up the chat window, you know, we say, hey, welcome to XYZ company. How can we help you today? 85 to 90% of the time, the visitor's like, I need this, this, and this really specifically, right? And then our team's been able to either, if they say something that's in the script for that particular customer, say, okay, can you tell me a little bit more about your project, right? Or we ask that top level qualification question. Then we say, all right, great. One of our experts will get back in touch with you. Can you provide your contact details? Right? So a lot of the chats are short, sweet. The visitor was heard, quote unquote heard, right? Because we're chatting, we're not talking. It's type. So, but they were heard, they were acknowledged. They got to tell the person, hey, here's what I'm looking for. And then we say, all right. And they know they're going to hear back from somebody at the organization. And if the chat comes in after hours, we say, someone will be in touch with you as soon as possible the next business day, right? To set the appropriate expectation. Now, we always emphasize to our customer, when those chats get emailed to you and they hit your inbox within about 5 or 10 minutes after the chat finishes, make sure your team is aware, make sure they have a good response time process. And, you know, Inside Sales did research with MIT years ago, and they basically did a huge study and found out that response time for web leads, if you don't respond within an hour, you're 6 times less likely to put that inquiry into a sales process. So we always say, respond within an hour. If you can do 15 to 20 minutes, that's even better.
You can't, you just can't do it fast enough. I mean, even if you're incredibly fast today, if you were faster tomorrow, it would be better.
No doubt.
Yeah.
That's the society we live in.
That metric is constant.
Yeah. No, so no wonder, as we kind of draw the episode to a close here, as, you know, if you're looking out onto the horizon, AI is only going to get better. It's as bad as it's ever going to be right now. You know, I think a lot of people are already a little suspicious when they interact with a chatbot. Like, are we dealing with a real human here? I wonder, like, you know, is AI and chatbot, like the kind of AI-driven bot, just going to end up ruining it for everyone? Are they going to ruin the channel such that the human-powered chat won't succeed because nobody's going to believe it's a human anyway?
I don't think so. A few years ago, we kind of moved AI onto our threat box and our SWOT analysis. Over the past few years, as AI has gotten increasingly better, we've realized, and through hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of conversations with customers and prospects, people don't want to be forced to deal with automation. They want to choose it. So if you as a company are going to force your visitors to use AI, I would pose this question to you. Would you rather have a real human answering your phone if possible when they call into your business, right? Or would you rather put them through a phone tree, right? So if possible, be human first. Humanize your digital strategy. The results in the data speak for themselves. We see a much higher engagement rate with actual humans because of the acknowledgement and the empathy that they provide. And one of the risks, as AI gets better, we've realized, and this is a huge risk that you know I like to talk about when companies are kind of evaluating us versus an AI option. If you create a really, really strong AI and it almost feels human, but then the person gets down the path and then all of a sudden they realize they've been quote unquote duped, and they realize later on in the conversation that it was AI, there's going to be weird feelings there, right? Towards your company. And so it's just something to consider. So we don't see too much of a threat from AI. We're going to continuously find ways to embed it and hybridize our solution to make our solution better and better. But we're always, I don't say always because there's no definite in today's world. There's no definite, but right now we're totally human first, and the results and the data continue to prove that that's the way to go.
I love what you said about people want to choose automation, not be put into a situation where they have to deal with the automated solution first. Mm-hmm. My most recent chat experience was with one of those chats where it starts off with AI, and after you're exasperated with it, you can ask to speak to a human agent. Yeah. And then an hour later, they'll show up.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, what you just said is needs to be repeated. Once you're exasperated with it, meaning once you're annoyed enough, right?
Yeah.
Then you get, just put the human first, right?
It's interesting to consider. I'd love to see some split test data around like offering two chat options. Like, do you want to deal with an automated bot right now, or would you prefer to deal with a human? And I bet for some inquiries, people would be like, give me the bot, thanks. Humans are annoying. And then in other instances, they'd be like, yeah, I just don't want to try to go through the bot tree, right? And they would probably understand based upon their query, what is likely to get them where they need to go faster. Hmm. I like the choose your own adventure guidance there now.
Yeah, it's an interesting thought. We'll look into that. And I do want to mention one other thing too, just, from our perspective, because the HubSpots and the Salesforces, they all offer the chat software. For many of our customers, we integrate really seamlessly. We love integrating with CRMs to have the data flow seamlessly within the organization. So our solution in particular, it's not a standalone, has to go through everything. It integrates with the way they operate. And that's a question I get all the time too.
Understood. Well, Nelson, it's been great to have you on the show. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Appreciate you having me.
It's been an interesting topic to dive into. And I think anytime we can make digital more human, I think manufacturers win. So this is a really interesting conversation. Thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Thanks a lot.